This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, let's go. You're rolling with Jason and John, 929 FM ESPN. It's April 16th. It's beautiful outside. It's beautiful inside as well. You know why? Because my man John Martin is across from me again, my partner, my brother. He's here with his handsome face. Probably still a little under the weather, but he's been battling through. He's done it all week long on Zoom for 2 days. He's back in studio, so we are whole. Executive producer, the man on the ones and twos, the program director, number one in this country, Brad Carson is here. His son is a 6'3", 6'4", rising senior pitcher, stud, and number he's back.
One, number one in the 901.
He is back. I'm excited about that. I'm excited about baseball, all levels. I'm excited about all things sports, all things that don't relate to what we saw last night. Oh, and we going to discuss it. If you thought I was going to beat around the bush, an 8-minute monologue about other sports. You're crazy.
You didn't mention the showboats, man.
Later.
Because we got to do our weekly we got to do our weekly prayer ritual for Steve Macy. That's what you like to do.
The soap opera that is the showboats. I'm glad you brought that up.
Like every week we say some version of, man, we just feel so bad for Steve Macy.
Because the longer we put this off, the longer we put off what Boogie once called pain.
Yeah.
Now, some of us were up for it, and some of us weren't. And you may think, listeners, your prediction might be that he was the old man. Old Smooth, we had talked about it, we laughed about it. He was going to need an afternoon nap to make it. Smooth powered through with no nap.
That's big time.
And you know what I saw, John?
Fight.
I saw a Grizzlies team.
Fight.
No, this
here we
is
go.
No, this is right at you. That had a chance.
Yeah, they got down 20.
I leave it to you, brother.
They got down 20 and it looked mostly like I thought it would look. And then I went to bed. I fell asleep. I
was sleep,
like,
sleep.
It's over.
I mean, NyQuil out.
Now, again, they took the lead late.
So
but again, they The whole calculation was this team has a blueprint that it follows. It has a model. They fold.
They covered for Brad.
They did cover for Brad. But
dang you, Brad. We're off to a rough start there. Stick with us.
Long stand.
Because you got more work to do tonight.
That's right.
Today. Yeah. For tonight.
Yeah. Got to keep it going.
Don't forget that. We power through.
Yeah. We don't stop.
Go ahead. Had no chance. I know what you're about to. I know in the end it was what you thought it was.
Virtually no chance. I mean,
because we've seen it before.
Because you're up against goats. You're up against the best.
They were goats last night. Those performances were goat-like.
I mean, and Jimmy is the play-in king. That man has been in the play-in basically every single year that he's been in the
league.
How
can he have anything left in the tank?
It was amazing.
He did 30-something against the Clippers in that loss. He was trying to get the win for him.
Yeah.
First time I think he'd been over 30 since he'd been a Warrior.
Yeah. So
you've seen what he's had to pour out these last couple.
It's just, you
amazing.
Know, when it comes down to it, man, and it's a, you know, one possession game, you know.
They were up, bro.
The Grizzlies don't have the execution ability. They just don't. I don't know why that is. It feels like they used to, but they don't anymore.
Well, it probably has something to do with an interim head coach and then a bunch of guys that probably had no business being out there whole game, and what a mess. I mean, there's a lot of reasons why.
Yeah.
There's a lot of reasons.
I'd love to know, like, what their record is and, like, what their clutch, you know, stats are, what their win percentage is in clutch. 51.4%, middle of the pack, 13th in the league, you know? So not terrible.
We got a lot to get to on a big show, right?
Yeah. Oh,
glad you're back, bro.
Yeah, it's good to be here. I don't know what the hell I've had going on. Although I did hear, like some people brought home some sicknesses from San Antonio, so maybe, you know, I had a delayed sickness.
Some of them burritos down there, huh?
Yeah, or something. Who knows? I'm feeling a little better.
Good.
Feeling a little better. Enough to be in here today.
We're happy to have you back.
I wasn't going to miss the opportunity to come in and take my victory lap, you know, after so many people tweeted me on Monday.
Never had a chance.
They were so mad at me. They were so mad at me that I was saying that the Grizzlies were not going to win this game.
But essentially, in the end, you were right.
Right.
So I mean, we start this show there.
The Grizz had a dead cat bounce, right? A little dead cat rally, you know, kind of like the stock market right now.
Oh, it was more than that. I was so dramatic. Ja went out. Ja came back. I mean, there's so much to talk about.
But the Grizzlies have a game on Friday, correct?
Correct.
Against one of Sacramento or Dallas. So
you got it down there.
Be in the building. Be in the building for that. With a trip to the playoffs on the line. Good morning, Japan. It's time. Drew Hill is going to join us at 11:25.
The best.
You know,
and Michael do a great job.
Robin Williams had the "Good morning, Vietnam." You know, Drew Hill's thing is like "Good morning, Japan." He just seeks clout from Japan. It's actually unbelievable. Mm-hmm. His engagement farming.
Yeah, he's tapped in.
You know, I wonder if he has to pay a tariff on the X fees that he gets from Japan.
We have them all.
You know, yeah. Although I do know that I understand that we are in negotiations with Japan as we speak on those tariffs. I'll keep you posted throughout the day.
Please do.
But he'll join us at 11:25. We'll get his thoughts on the game last night. You know, the direction of the franchise. I know there's going to be a lot of talk about they're not going to intentionally lose, but I think a lot of people would prefer that. They just lose on Friday.
Oh, it's so awful for culture and optics.
Yes. So we know where you're at. We know if you were Coach Isolo.
We will revisit.
You would be starting Luke Kennard. You would be starting John Conchar.
I'm going to tell you something about culture in a minute. Go ahead.
And then we're going to do Fade Brad at 1. We're hoping you for ready? A better day. Or worse day, as it were.
I'm ready, Jalen. I'm done.
You said the key thing with Jeff. Yesterday was easy. If he doesn't pick, those were. And Brad, to your point, this is a segment of integrity.
Yeah, I'm not going
to
pick
something
I don't believe.
Brad is not trying to lose, and that was always. And we had some days where Brad was a big winner. And yes, unfortunately for the listener that faded, that meant a bad day for you. Mm-hmm. But we pushed through, and 56-57%, John, stands on its own. That's over an entire playoff.
Yeah.
And so my point, be responsible.
Yes.
Have fun. As John said, that's the key.
Yeah.
Well, I don't get mad about this. Then you're putting too much on it.
Yeah.
Right? And then more. And then we're going to push through. Brad's going to prove himself to be the worst we've ever seen.
Let's hope so.
The radio station is depending on it.
Jonte Porter like limits.
Yeah. But as you guys have said, I'm not going to not keep it real.
Integrity,
like, I'm not going to come in here and do some BS bit where I'm making up bogus picks. These are my thoughts.
Listen, I was rooting against you.
I was too.
I was watching Trey. Yeah. I said, here we go.
Yeah.
Before this man, did you see that mess? Were you up for that?
He'll show up the ref at the end? Yeah.
I've never seen anything like that.
That was wild.
And that was the shot that he went over on, by the way.
Even the play-by-play man was like, young players, don't do that.
No.
Don't do that, young players. No. Don't do what Trey just did.
You were watching that on the Superbox?
Bro, I was pulling for Atlanta because I was pulling against Brad. We were making a run because your offensively dysfunctional Orlando team had let them back in for a hot second.
Yep. Yep.
But then y'all put the clamps down again. You realize you're top three defensively? I keep calling because that you and Banchero, your team.
And Wendell.
That's your other team. Y'all are top three defensively, but your offense is bottom of the barrel. And they had let Atlanta back in. I'm only watching this because I'm rooting against Brad. I'm sorry, guys. Trey was too sorry. He's a loser, even though he went over on the points.
It's facts.
Thank goodness it was the one bet you lost on.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Cole Anthony had 26.
broke.
Yeah.
Greg's sun shined.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. So a lot to get to on the show with Fade Brad. And then Norton Hurd the Fourth will join us at 125. We'll continue the conversation with him. So that's the show today. Looking forward to it. Great to be back here in studio after my various ailments. Grizzlies basketball going to another play-in game. Fall short, 121-116. I think you have to be encouraged with just how well they played in this game. That's a championship pedigree team they were up against last night, and you fall just short. A lot of things to like is kind of where I'm at on it, Jason.
A lot to like.
A lot to love, even. I mean,
you got to be kidding. You're kidding right now.
I'm kidding.
Okay.
I mean, it's just kind of been more, we're not really there in the timeline anymore, right, with these Grizzlies. The times for, man, I'm so encouraged by these close losses. I'm so encouraged by how they played against top cut. We're not really, this isn't 2021 anymore. Mm-hmm. 2025, and you got multiple guys on max deals. You're about to have three guys on max deals. So coming up, just short is not and should not be enough. I mean, you take the lead late, you squander it away, have that bad five-second call. I mean, that play didn't have a chance. I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and act like it was unexpected. I mean, they were seven-point underdogs, and they covered the number. But, I mean, I didn't really expect anything differently. Just based on the direction, right? I think the Warriors are now 24-7 when Jimmy Butler plays, and we know what the Grizzlies have been since the trade deadline. So,
and favored against the Rockets, amazingly.
Yeah.
To win the series.
Yeah.
Plus, Rockets are plus 170.
Mm-hmm.
Warriors minus 200. Mm-hmm. You don't see that often, do you?
No, not at a 2.
2-7. It's crazy.
Even when
the
Grizz were against the Lakers were still underdogs.
I'm talking about that is easy work for Ime Udoka, it feels like, in the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Yeah,
a 2 seed, we're a plus 170 underdog.
They got to prove it, of course.
You kidding me? But see, the difference with him and what they've got, because there are some young, but they're raising them like grown men, and they have some grown men there. It's a difference. We'll get to it.
Yeah. We'll get to everything.
So we'll do it right now if you want to. I mean, so you're this is what you thought it would be. We can talk about whether or not. I think a good starting point is this. I don't feel better about things after last night. I think here's something I don't think you've heard today. I think Golden State brings out the best in this team. This, why wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's Steph on the other side. You got a history. You put him out in a play-in game. You got the back and forth going on with the antics and everything else. Every time Golden State and Memphis plays, it brings out the best in them. And that's why you saw them battle back from 20 down. But at the end, to your point, John, when it's execution time, now that's been a sort of a constant all season, but especially here late, and you can't pin that all on Isolo, but at the end, it all comes unraveled. 19 turnovers. Now don't tell me that's just now. That's been all season. You're bottom of the league in turnover percentage trying to play the fastest pace. Something's wrong about that. You don't value possessions enough to win a game like that against, as John said, goats who are valuing every possession.
Yep.
Now, again, you can't lay this all at the feet of Tomas Isolo, but the issue is there with 5 seconds left. You really find out, and let's be real, it happened before. He uses a challenge he didn't need to use to keep, who was it, Looney off the free throw line. You need it. Even the analyst was saying it. I mean, you might want to save that one. Is it worth it? Point being, if you're picking the fact that you should have pulled Scottie Pippen out so he's not the guy that gets his last foul, because you're playing for overtime.
Right.
Okay, and you need him to guard Steph. Blew it there, and then you come down to the 5 second call. And I know, here's my thing on that call. It was quick. So in the defense that I can make for the Grizzlies, very small here. It did feel like it was a quick 5 seconds. I felt like if it's normal, you saw Ja was right there. Santi about hit him. Like there's a body clock with those guys, NBA guys, on that 5 second call. And Ja was right there to get it. It felt like at the time that you usually have that, and there, whether it was another half tick, whatever it was, it felt like they didn't get that. Back to the point, though, it clearly wasn't drawn up well.
Right.
When you listen to the explanations afterwards, like you talked about, John, are you trying to hit Bane in the corner? That's a tough one with Jimmy over there. Mr. Playoff's going to close it out with that. What are we talking about here?
Mm-hmm.
And so my point, you saw the inexperience in coaching there at the end. Can you afford to go into next year with a roster that's clearly not ready, but then a coach who's still learning on the job? Yeah, maybe he's a great offensive coach. There are some things that have improved. They've actually slowed down a little bit, and the turnover percentage has gotten better in the 9 games, regular season to end. Last night, set aside 19. It had gotten better under Isolo. He might be really good offensively, but they need a lot more than that, John. You still got Jaren Jackson in year 7 having games like this. It feels like, I texted you this, I'm serious. Every time, as soon as he lands or Draymond lands in Memphis, as soon as those two are in the same city, he's little brother. He doesn't show up.
Yep.
Big brother's here, and he runs the place. Like, come on, bro. You know, and listen, Ja got hurt. He comes back. But this whole season, the in-out, the distraction that is the gestures and everything else, again, it speaks to a lack of culture, a lack of accountability. I'm watching Houston with this 2 seed as underdogs. There's 2 ways to go with this. You can get loud about that and bark. Oh, we're being disrespected. Kind of see that around. You know, we've seen that over the years here. Or you can go out like men. And listen, Golden State might beat them. But I'm so interested to see how they perform, because, again, it feels like where we should be, in the sense that we should be grown men by now. Jaren shouldn't be dealing with foul issues, you know, not being a big rebounder when you need him. God bless Zach Edey. No, offensively, of course, things are too fast for him. That's why the reason he's missing those and not dunking it, y'all. Yeah, you saw it at Purdue. He has no confidence right now. You know why? I blame the organization. You had Taylor Jenkins going rogue on you because you brought in his, the way he sees it, replacement, and he stops playing Edey. Edey could have had more confidence offensively and helped you more in that game. God bless him, he had 17 rebounds. You know, he has to, because Jaren doesn't. But I can go down the list. Bane, man, he showed up last night. You know, he hadn't been perfect all season long. Felt like you wasted a great performance from him. My point is, this is organizational, man. And just running it back ain't going to get it. GG and Vince, another year older, God bless them, they may end up being great players, but it's not going to get it. And so I'm really to hear that folks, because they played an old Golden State team that's begging to be put down, lost 3 of 5 there to finish the season. I believe the 3 were all at home. Okay? You're talented enough to do it with the big 3. You just haven't gotten it done. They're ready to be put down. You allowed them to be goats at the end. This is year 6 of Ja. You've won 1 playoff series. How many times are we going to keep running it back with youth around these guys? When you already said you seconded it and then tripled down on it, now you quadrupled down and it's failed you. And don't even get me started on Friday. Go ahead, win it. Lose the pick. You know, this idea that, oh my gosh, it's trash for the culture if they try to lose. What do y'all think? On Sunday, the greater good was, let's rest our starters, right, to get them to the Golden State game or whoever we were going to get in the play-in, and we'll give the fans, everybody that's there, what was it? Was it GG, Cam Spencer, all that? They picked the greater good, right? Let's not talk about culture when earlier this season you were okay with losing twice to Brooklyn and Chicago or whatever else and just playing guys 20-something minutes. You didn't act like winning was important then. And so the point on if you lose the game, you do. There is a win in that, not making the playoffs, because you get to keep an asset that you've had to trade away to fix some of this stuff that you've done. And frankly, you might have clearly made a mistake there with Marcus. But you're just to retain that asset, you get to keep something that maybe, John, can help fix this right now, because that's where it has to be. And so I don't understand this lack, it feels like, of any sense. Some folks, I see it, but it feels like there should be more of a sense of urgency. Because at some point, the players who still run the league, players, it's still players' league, right? They're going to look up and say, these guys aren't getting us anywhere. Whether it's the coach, whether it's the front office, What, and then what? They're demanding trades before you're willing to trade them? That lowers your leverage. Then you've really blown the chance to take this thing from good to elite, to true contender. That is where the front office has failed. This is your result. We can get real about this, or we can spin it sunshine. No. You know, John Morant came back yesterday, you know, to tell him go out there and lose. Yeah. Sure, it's bad for culture. He's not going to do it. I suspect they'll win. But you're not winning anything. There's nothing. You're not gaining anything for the future, culture-wise, by getting to a series with OKC, losing the draft pick. Frankly, you're going to get embarrassed. Let's be real. Those games, the sweep of you, basically, 18-point per game difference. Basically, 20 points per game they've beaten you by. It's a different level.
Yeah.
And it's really about to be different in these playoffs. So keep fooling yourselves if you want to. I didn't expect to come in here and go on a rant.
Yeah.
But
we're going to clip that up and use it.
I feel like I'm not doing it for the clips.
Oh, you're doing it for the video.
I'm doing it because it needs to be said. All eyes should be on Zach Kleiman.
I agree.
What now?
I don't think anybody's above reproach.
What's to be gained by you telling me so getting in Vince Williams, I heard a little bit of Vince and Gigi some playoff minutes would be good for him. I don't even know if the what are we talking about here?
Right.
We're still in developmental stage, and that's the issue, is that seems like we've been in that for, we've been waiting on Jaren to develop. We've been waiting on Ja to come out of it and sort of grow out of it. We've been waiting on, frankly, I have a hard time being tough on Bane. He's had a career year for the most part. I mean, my gosh, what do y'all want him? I realize what he makes.
What he makes
is a lot for a three guy.
I mean, I'm not criticizing the day.
When you look at it through those lenses, what he's making for a three guy, I get where the criticism starts to come from, but that dude brought it last night when you needed it. I don't think it's just Golden State that brings out the best in Desmond Bane. I think he's given you pretty much everything he's had all year. Going to the hole, his arms can barely hold him up when he falls down, and it feels like it's every time. God bless him. Is he perfect? No. But again, we're talking about growth and guys growing up, and that comes from a culture. And I saw one guy, well, what do you mean for when you say culture? Is that code for a – one guy hit me on Twitter. Is that code for a black coach? I told you, I don't care if he's black, he's white, he's brown. Dagnall seems to have a pretty good culture. I'd tell you that situation seems a little different because SGA leads it. Ja, right, the culture here, let's be real, folks. Let's be real. Is grenade word bombs, right, gestures. Gun gestures, that's what we're doing over these six. That's our culture. That's what other teams are saying about us. These other GMs that are looking at it say Zach's about to blow it. That's what they're saying our culture is. And so don't tell me about that losing the game, this play-in game, this huge play-in game on Friday would ruin culture. The culture is gone. There is no culture. That's how I would bottom line it. I'm not Stephen A. I'm not trying to do a tirade. But all of this must be said, and it all is connected.
Yeah.
And it points back up to Zach. Everybody's got to grow up from the top on down. And got to get serious about trying to get this thing to the next level. The whole doubling down on youth and development to get us through doesn't get you through.
Yeah.
John's gotten you one playoff series win and Jaws six.
Yeah.
Said it had to be more than that.
This hot rant
needed to be more than that.
Brought to you by Sonic, America's Drive-In.
They didn't know. No, I want to do it like Ernie, and I saw it. He does it. He does like a stat of the night or something, and it's been unsponsored for like, and that's what Respect Burger is going to be.
Right.
We're gonna, until one of y'all steps up.
That's right. Somebody going to do it, man.
Again, Sonic, looking at you.
They're doing enough.
They are doing great.
We're very grateful.
We can hook something up.
I don't really have much to add.
I've left nothing for you on that bone. I took all the meat off of it.
You did. Well,
I'm happy you're here.
No,
I'm happy you were here to listen.
You're lifted.
And let me get that off.
That's right.
My chest.
That's right.
This again is not some, agenda. This is eyeballs, y'all.
This is
unacceptable for where they should be in this timeline with these players. You're going to lose them. You get 20, 30 games in the next season with Isolo, and you're still trying to figure things out, and you have no identity defensively. And I don't think you're going to have one if you run it back with the same guys. You're going to all of a sudden your defensive identity is going to be back. You clearly are broken there. So you tell me what going forward should look like. It starts, it can start on Friday by, you know, John Smile. I'm not even going to say the word. You start the future because you keep the pick. Mm-hmm. That can help you right now. No, folks that are listening, because I haven't said it. That doesn't mean for anybody that's don't get it twisted. Oh, Jason wants them to go use a first-round pick and get another player in here. No, he doesn't. He wants them to package that asset with whatever else you have. Somebody sees GG as a player. Brother, you package that up and whatever else it takes. Go get some veteran help. Acquire some veteran help to put around this big three. Let's stop playing. Let's get serious.
Let's talk to Drew Hill, our Japanese correspondent, on moves that they can make, what he thinks of the play-in. He's been very steadfast, and you cannot ask these guys to tank.
You will not. You don't have to.
But can you pull back Ja and say, you ain't playing?
Now, Sacramento just beat you, didn't they, not too long ago? Y'all act like you're just above us, you know, because Golden State brings out the best in you. You feel like you got fight again, like you didn't just lose to Sacramento.
If I want to make the playoffs, so I think I'd rather see them than the Mavericks, though, because the Mavs have Anthony Davis.
Mavs got D.
And they got champs.
All those bigs healthy?
Yeah.
I feel like they are.
Yeah. So we'll get into all that with Drew Hill. We'll talk to him about his thoughts on all this when we get back. And maybe later Jason has another rant. I enjoyed it. That was 30 minutes of my work day.
Oh, I can give you 30 minutes more for that front office.
How many can you give me on the showboats? Brad, don't look at Brad. Brad didn't bring him to Memphis.
What's sort of happened? And he knows where I'm at. When it's time to get serious, like this rant, I have a tendency to look over at Brad, don't I?
Yeah, you do.
Because sometimes you'll be over there playing, or you'll check in, check out, check your bets on the ground.
That's right.
That's always what's going on with you,
yeah.
And I will lose you. And so sometimes when I have to be serious and I really want somebody with me, I have a tendency now to turn over to Brad.
Yes,
I need you locked it when I.
Oh, I can't I'm, lock
next
it. For
time,
the, oh, I can't
next
lock
time
it for
I'm gonna
rant. That's a ridiculous
listen,
thing to say.
Listen, next time I'm gonna cue you.
Yeah,
I'm gonna say rant coming or something. Or I'll give you a sign. You'll be able to see it on these new cameras, maybe in a promo. And I'll need you to stay locked in with me.
Yeah, well,
maybe I'll put a time limit on. 30
minutes is a long time.
Just 5.1.
Yeah,
I'll get it in.
Yeah, I mean we got to put a time limit on it.
I'll get the ball inbounded.
Yeah. All right, we'll come back. Drew Hill's going to join us on the other side. Stick around. Jason and John, I'm trying to find me ESPN.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, Japan! Drew Hill covers the Grizzlies, covers everything for the Daily Memphian. Dunk Shoot magazine in Japan. Nice enough to join us. He usually joins us Thursday, but we felt like today was a much better day to have him, given the events of last night. He joins us now. Konnichiwa, Drew.
Very kind to do so, Drew. Thank you.
John likes to make fun of me for my working overseas or poke fun, not make fun, poke fun. I was actually on ESPN China last night for the game, so that was kind of cool. I've never done that before, so shout out ESPN China for having me.
I need a moment to digest the ESPN China thing.
Right.
We're going to try you on a different line to make sure that they don't intercept this call.
Because
right?
It's going in and out.
We're going to call you
right
back.
We want to make sure we hear every word.
So ESPN, what are, you know, I don't want to get into the geopolitical.
I only watch ESPN Deportes.
But I don't know what the, you know, relations are between China and Japan. Drew, are you with us?
Yes, sorry. I don't know what happened.
You were on ESPN Deportes or ESPN China?
ESPN China.
Holy
ESPN
cow.
China.
Now, help me.
That's bigger, it feels like.
So, okay.
Because it goes to more people.
Yuki, not Chinese.
No.
What business did ESPN China want with you then?
Great question.
The NBA is pretty big deal in China.
Okay.
I don't know if you knew that.
LeBron.
Yeah, some people forget that, right? But no, the NBA is a big deal in China, and they were just there covering the game. You know, there's a lot of Warriors fans out there. And Zach Edey
is Chinese.
Zach Edey's mom. Yep.
All right, fair enough.
So did talk a little bit about Zach Edey, but no, I mean, obviously, same result. This was one that the Grizzlies psyched themselves up for big time. I thought there was some genuine confidence that they were capable of winning, that they were going to win the game. And same thing, same story, man.
Yeah.
It's the same thing over and over and over again on repeat. And you know what? They did it all over again last night, but it was a different vibe last night afterwards, you know, because this time they finally acknowledged, like, you know, we keep saying the same stuff and convincing ourselves that we're going to do it. Then we just don't do it, you know? And so at some point that frustration just catches up to you. But one last chance now, one last chance to get to the playoffs. It'll be an interesting, I guess it's an interesting predicament that the fans are in to decide what they're going to cheer for here. We can talk about that. I plan on probably writing about that at some point today. Obviously not a fun one last night for the Grizzlies.
Let's assume you win that one, Drew. For this roster, for where everything is right now, maybe even for Tuomas Iisalo as a permanent head coach. How important is whatever experience you get? 4 games, 5 games, 6 games. Maybe you push them 7. How important is that experience? Because we all think it would be a loss. I mean, everybody in the world does. Look at the way OKC has played. Of course it would be. That's a tall order. How valuable would that experience be for this roster, this team, this organization?
Yeah, I mean, it's a hard question to answer, Jason, just because, you know, the players, like Desmond Bane made it clear last night, because I asked him the question without even he's aware, obviously, of the narrative here, but, you know, he said, this is what you play for as players. Like, you play to be in the playoffs, right? Like, this is why we put in all the work. Like, you're not just going to put in all the work to try to get into the playoffs and then the opportunity's there and it's like, you don't care about it anymore. Like, it's just not how it works. And I certainly relate to that. I think that's probably true, but in terms of experience and how much it matters, I mean, maybe a little bit. I mean, but it just depends, because if you OKC is so good, if you just get in 4 blowouts mm-hmm. or 3 out of 4 blowouts, I mean, really, what does that do for you? You know, the Grizzlies lost to OKC by an average margin of 18.8 points this season. Like, if you're not playing close playoff games and getting a taste of the playoffs,
right.
The value just decreases, and maybe the Grizzlies can put up enough of a fight in that potential series to, you know, to make the games close and make them feel worthwhile.
Yep.
But they haven't shown that they're capable of doing that this year. So I don't know. I think it's an interesting question.
Yep.
And then on the other side of the coin though, we can ask how much a first-round pick is valuable to this team.
Well, that's where I was going. I asked you that to ask you if it's low value, if we think that the you know, the likelihood is short series, not much experience. If that's, and you kind of said it, if that's a lower value, isn't the value of the pick as it relates to trying to fix this thing right now, not using it in the draft, but and bringing in another young player, but you using it to package with whatever, getting that asset this year, is that not a higher value?
Yes. No, I think that there's certainly the possibility that that is a higher value.
Yeah.
And honestly, you know, I think I misunderstood Jeff's point earlier, which was like, I thought he was like suggesting that the Grizzlies could like do something actionable to make sure that they keep their pick. And now that avenue might be Jaws' injury, but Mike. Like, I think I was misunderstanding Jeff there, because I think he was just saying, you know, it's a cheering choice here, and fans are going to cheer one way or another. I went back last night after the game, it was incredibly late, and just sort of looked through rookies that had played, and this is what I'll write about at some point today once I get to the airport, but rookies who played significant playoff minutes in their first season after being drafted, because that's something we have to consider here, is whichever player you might bring in the draft, and I get it, you'd have like less than a 1% chance of landing Cooper Flagg, but whoever you do end up drafting in the late lottery, you know, those players typically aren't contributing to playoff teams in their first season significantly. It's funny, because if you look around the rest of the NBA right now, you can't name one rookie that's going to be playing outside of Ron Holland, who's going to be playing significant minutes in the playoffs this season, outside of the two that were going to play significant minutes for the Grizzlies, Zach Edey and Jalen Wills. Like, Dalton Knecht, his minutes have gone down at the end of the season. He's not playing much. You know, like, none of these teams are using rookies in significant roles. So if the goal is to win right now,
yep.
Like, I just don't know how much it, like, it certainly could be the better option than just getting bounced in four games. Like, don't get me wrong, and it'll be way more entertaining if the Grizzlies do have a first round pick this offseason. I'm not arguing with that. I'm just saying it's just highly unlikely that you're going to add a late lottery rookie and then think that he's going to play on a team that you expect to be a playoff team. So I don't know. It's
like if the Grizzlies
interesting conundrum.
If the Grizzlies drafted it, like Liam McNeely, right?
That's that's why I'm not interested in draft whatsoever. It's only in packaging it with GG Jackson, who maybe you've, you know, sort of held back on, including in deals, because you've thought so much on his future, and it's kept you young, or whatever. That's my point. Is Drew not using it for a draft pick whatsoever? Because you're right. In the end, when you're trying to win now, that doesn't help you. You've got enough of those right now, Drew. Hell, you're trying to develop guys as it is that are older than the ones you're bringing in. So I mean, in addition to developing the ones you're bringing in. So, no, man, I'm all about trying to package that asset, using it to get better right now with veteran help, you know, this offseason.
No, I'm with you.
Yes.
I'm with you, Jason. I think that makes more sense.
Right.
You know, you also have to consider here that there's going to be a cap hold, especially on a lottery pick.
Mm-hmm.
And given all of, like, what we know about the Jaren situation, and, like, the Grizzlies have publicly said, like, that they hope he's all NBA this season, you know, so that they can work out a long-term extension there. You know, that's a pathway for the Grizzlies to have more money this offseason if Jaren does finish all NBA to put more players around the core of three. And I know people are frustrated with the way Jaren played last night. That's a totally different conversation, but I still think they're going to work on an extension with Jaren. So there's a scenario in which, you know, the Grizzlies have to try to work on a different renegotiate with him this summer and then try to extend him off of that to get to a similar money pathway. That was, you know, it's part of the reasoning behind a Marcus Smart trade, because it allows them to sort of to navigate that in a different way. Well, you know, some of these different pathways that the Grizzlies can take require different moves to happen in order to free up money and find a way to maintain and improve the roster, because obviously you can't just run it back with what you've got right now. And if you were to have a draft pick, there's going to be a cap hold on that player, which is going to mean, saying goodbye to other players.
Right.
And so that those might be players you actually have interest in keeping. So like it adds another layer of complication too,
mm-hmm.
To all of this. And so it's really hard. Like I've gone back and forth on it quite a bit this morning about what is more valuable, to like get in the playoffs and like get humbled but at least have that experience and get over the psychological hump of just freaking winning a big game. Like that, like it would be nice for them to win on Friday, because it would be nice for their mental, you know, like it would be nice for that, because it's been such a beatdown this season. It's just been one demoralizing news break, one demoralizing loss after the next. And so, it would be good for their psyche if they could get a win. But at the same time, is it good for the future of the team? I'm not sure.
Well, I guess I would contend that ego death has already happened. Like, they've already been humbled. They've been humbled over the course of 2 years, really. I mean, this team was climbing with a silver bullet, right? I mean, they looked like they were going to be one of the staples in the West, in the top three, every single year. I mean, I go back to 22, 23, 21, 22. Like, that's how we felt. And now, you know, they're not that, obviously. So the ego has died. So, I don't think they can be any more humble than they've already been. And I don't even think being swept to a team with the highest net rating in the history of the NBA in the Oklahoma City Thunder, you know, could possibly, you know, humble them anymore. I think it's more about just... You know, it's hard to capture, man. Even when you think you have it in the NBA, you can't just assume you're going to keep ascending, you know. And for some reason, it just feels like it's stalled out. And Jaren's deal, like you mentioned, like maybe there's some more palatable, you know, machinations. Like you could do a shorter term up front and then give yourself some flex, whatever. I don't know what his willingness to do that would be. You know, I have no idea, but... I just think it's a cautionary tale that you should never assume. You should never assume in the NBA that just because you're at a certain point with a young core, that it's just gonna, that arrow is just gonna keep pointing up, because there's a good chance that it will not.
Yeah, no, I think that's spot on, and I don't get the sense that the belief is lost in this core in the three. You know, that have carried the team to this point. But it's also true, they just don't have enough around them right now to win some of these games. Like, they made bets on the wrong players this season, because GG ended up, you know, statistically being one of the worst defensive players in the entire league this year. And so that played him off the court. And Vince, you know, with some of the injuries and setbacks, never really was able to get off the ground. And we saw him very briefly last night, and it was not good. And so you factor in the fact that you lost, you know, two of your most important players on defense, you know, before the postseason.
Huge.
It was somewhat surprising that the team was down by 4 points to me, given that Jaren was playing poorly, and Jaren does not always play poorly in the postseason. That's a narrative that I think people have screwed up. Like, go back and look at the way he played in some of these previous postseason opportunities. But Jaren played poorly. Ja wasn't at his best, clearly. And this was before he had turned the ankle, but Ja still wasn't at his best in that game. And Desmond Bane was playing pretty good, but he hadn't fully hit his stride yet, and the Grizzlies were down by 4 points. And it was like, how is this game this close? Like, it felt like there should have been more separation for Golden State, at that stage. And to me, that's when I kind of wondered. I was like, is this just going to be their night? Like, well, what's going on here? And then obviously the jaw ankle turn thing happens, and everything changes, and what we're talking about today changes, because, you know, if they found a way to win that game, we'd be sitting here today talking about, you know, whether or not they got a shot at beating Houston in the playoff series. But here we are now talking about, you know, the draft. That's just the way it goes.
What stood out to you most about the last 5 seconds? Everybody's talking about the inbounds. In terms of your eyes, what you saw, what stood out most about Santi not being able to get that ball in?
I mean, first of all, Santi's just got to throw it in. If you turn it over, you turn it over. Mm-hmm. Like, you've
get a pass up, I agree.
You've got to get something in the air. Some people said that they thought the count was short. It didn't seem short to me.
I thought it was. I thought it was, but you were there, so I defer to you.
I was trying to
watch. Your man Harrington thought it was short, too.
Yeah, maybe it was. Maybe it was a little short, but I was trying to watch on the highlight tape, like, to see when he hands him the ball versus when the ball leaves his hands, and it's, like, right at 5 seconds.
Okay.
So I think it was, like, close enough to where you can't be completely outraged about it. Now, the officiating, they had a night last night, fellas. Like, that was...
Oh, especially downstairs.
That was horrible. You know, horribly one-sided, I thought, during stretches of the third quarter where Golden State's just getting phantom fouls and whatever, and then the Grizzlies end up catching two massive breaks inside the last 2 minutes. The last two-minute report is going to be ugly when that comes out. But I just thought that, you know, the way that the team played towards the end and the way that the late game execution failed them continues to be the story of the season. And Santi just has to throw that ball in, and it didn't happen. And there wasn't urgency to get open either. Like, I thought Eric Hasseltine's radio call was like kind of summed it up perfectly. You know, if you go back and watch, it's like when they start the play, it's not full speed from the minute that it goes. It's like a build to full speed at 3 seconds, but by that point it was too late and nobody was open and they were out of timeouts.
Yeah, it was super unfortunate. Now, as it relates to tonight, I mean, they do have another game. Well, obviously be the winner of Mavs Kings. Which team do you think the Grizzlies would prefer to play?
I think they'd prefer to play the Mavs, but I think it will be the Kings. Kings have, in my opinion, a little bit more fight to them at this point in the season. They fired a coach. They made a big trade at the trade deadline. Like, they should be trying to play for the postseason. And they're not a team that had the expectation of, like, contending for a Western Conference Finals this season. They had the expectation of a team that hope to make the postseason, and they're right there in that spot if they win tonight. So I think it'll probably be Sacramento. And I think the Grizzlies probably would prefer it be Dallas, though.
The jaw ankle, man. What do you think about, you know, where he'll be if he is out there as he says he will be? You know what, maybe a percentage. Again, there's no way he's 100%, right? But we saw it. He took the – whatever they were saying, Advil, it looked like he popped some pills. They showed the video of that. Do you think he can be close to 90, close to 95, or was that, did it look bad enough he's going to be hobbling this thing?
I don't know about 90 or 95. It didn't seem great. He had a pretty big limp after the game, during the game. And I think there was a lot of respect for him from his teammates and also from the Warriors, by the way, that he got back out there after the injury. Yeah, Ja says he's going to play, and, you know, he was pretty strong with his words there, but we're going to get nothing on this leading up to the game.
Yeah,
The way it's going to be, because Ja essentially gave that answer, but he was cutting you off before you could ask the full question. Basically, as soon as you mentioned the ankle, you could tell he just did not want to talk about it. And then, you know, with Asalo, he immediately said afterwards, like, I've got no information, nothing on the ankle. Like, you know, now they probably won't say a word about that ankle injury until just before the game on Friday.
All right. Well, there you have it.
Drew, thank you, man. Great work.
Enjoy it, and we'll see you back here in Memphis on Friday.
Yep. Sounds good.
My brother. Yep.
He is Drew Hill. Appreciate him joining us on the show today. Covers the Memphis Grizzlies for the Daily Memphian. We'll come back.
Yeah, it's you do have a little bit of dilemma with Friday. No, you know, the whole damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Can we get you down there for the game, man? I think we can get you down there.
I want all of Memphis to show up. Grizzlies are selling tickets.
Leave Memphis.
To the game on Friday, and they want you to be there to support them.
That's right.
Get them into the playoffs.
That's right.
So, I want you guys to fill it up.
The Grizzlies' best year. The Grizzlies' best year in franchise history. What happened? What happened? An unlikely victory against the Oklahoma City Thunder in a playoff series. Now, Kevin Durant was out, or Russell Westbrook, one of the two. I can't remember. But believe Memphis. Rundown next. Jason and John, 99 FM, ESPN.